This morning, we are concluding our series on break room. In the last few weeks, we have looked at, in the first sermon, make room for eternity. We prioritizing our life so that we are laying up treasure in heaven. In the second sermon, Pastor Wilbur reminded us to make room for God's will, aligning our work with God's will because it is the most satisfying thing one can do on this earth. Last week, Gabriel told us the importance of making room for rest, enjoying the Sabbath in our lives. This morning, we are going to conclude our series by looking at making room for interruptions in our lives. There's no doubt we are in a culture where we place a heavy emphasis on productivity. Our boss, our parents, our co-workers expect us to be very productive and make the best use of our time. Because we have been told many, many times that time is money. Time is precious. And if you are Chinese, time is gold. An inch of time is an inch of gold, but you can't buy that inch of time with an inch of gold. We all heard that before. So what do? We jam-pack our schedule and fill up every little gap in our Google Calendar, in our schedule, for the sake of increased productivity. Time management guru would teach us that one of the ways to stay productive is to avoid all interruptions at all costs. But the irony is that we're living in a world of endless interruptions. We got a plan, we got an agenda, we got a schedule to follow, we got stuff that we have to finish, we got deadlines, meetings, exams, all that stuff. But interruptions constantly got in the way. So we tend to look at interruptions as unnecessary, annoying, and counterproductive. When we are being interrupted, I don't know how you feel, but we usually feel become interrupted, irritated, frustrated, and sometimes even angry because we feel that our personal space and time is being violated. Sometimes we wish we can wear a do not disturb sign on our neck all the time walking around. In fact, we are so paranoid about interruptions that we think of all possible ways to avoid interruptions. For those of you who want something a little bit more subtle, perhaps putting a really smelly fruit, such as durian, in your room might help keep the intruders away. Now, if you're living with parents, don't do it, okay? And if the smell does not drive them away, you can pick up the durian and throw it at the people who interrupt you. That would drive them away. This is the modern world that we're living in. We're simply too busy, and our schedule is too jam-packed to allow any hiccup. We must eradicate interruptions at all costs. But if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Christ, or at least you're here this morning because you want to find out more about Christianity, then we ought to look at interruption in your lives through a different lens, through the lens of the Gospels in the Bible. When you look at the Gospel, Jesus accomplished an amazing number of things in his short 33 years of life on earth. Jesus lived a very busy life. The word immediately was used 39 times in the book of Mark alone. He performed numerous miracles. He raised people from the dead, restored eyesight to the blind, casting out demons, healing the sick, raising the dead, calming the sea, and most of these happened as a result of interruptions. Whereas we fail upon interruption, Jesus seems to thrive on interruptions. and don't take my word for it. This morning, we are going to look at a few examples of this in the Gospels, and you can look at the evidence yourself, mostly in the Gospel of Mark, and you can decide for yourselves. The four Gospels spend an awful lot of time talking about the interruptions that crossed Jesus' path as he was traveling or preaching. Now, for those of you who constantly complain about your parents interrupting you and nagging you all the time, and I guess that's all of us here, guess what? Jesus' first miracle was performed as a result of an interruption from his mother. You see, Jesus and his mother and his disciples were at a wedding. And guess what? The host ran out of wine. And this will be a huge, huge dishonor to the host. So Jesus' mother, Mary, came and talked to his son, Jesus, to do something. And Jesus told her mother something about that it's not his time yet. But in the end, he did turn six large stone water pots that was full of water into some really, really good wine. Jesus turned an interruption into a miracle. Later, in Mark, Jesus returned to Capernaum. After some days, it was reported that he was back at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even the door, and he was preaching the word to them. So you can imagine a house jam-packed with people. Even the door was blocked. And right at that moment, Jesus was interrupted by a couple of intruders. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Now, this is the part of the story that got really, really interesting. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. So you can imagine this. Jesus was teaching, and all of a sudden, there was this commotion going on, and you hear some noise, and a couple of guys are trying to lower this bed with a paralytic person waiting to be lowered so that Jesus can heal this person. Imagine what Jesus' reaction would be. Hey guys, give me a break, would you? Can't you realize I'm doing some really important teachings here? You guys are disturbing everybody here. Why don't you just wait outside, take your turn. When I'm done here, I will come out and heal him when I'm done. No. Instead, and when Jesus saw the faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And the man was healed, just like that. Jesus turned an interruption into an invitation to do the good work of the Father. Even in his sleep, Jesus would get interrupted. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus was just in the middle of a nap on a boat when a great windstorm arose and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. They are about to drown. The boat is going to capsize. And his disciples got really, really scared and interrupt Jesus in his sleep. Hey, wake up, wake up. But what they found is that Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" "Oh, come on, guys, do you have to wake me up? Did you not listen to last week's sermon by Gabriel about the importance of rest?" Anyhow, that's not what happened. Jesus woke up and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Jesus again turned an interruption into an invitation to strengthen his disciples' faith. And that includes our faith. Interruption, it's okay. Right? Later on, in Mark chapter 5, we will see that Jesus was interrupted so frequently that even his interruptions were interrupted. And this is really interesting. Right after Jesus had calmed the storm, which we just heard about, Jesus and his disciples went back to the other side of the lake in a boat, and a large crowd had already gathered around him on the shore. But then Jesus was interrupted yet again, on the spot, by one of the leaders of the synagogue, and his name was Jairus. Jairus has a 12-year-old daughter, and she was really, really sick. So Jairus came and interrupted Jesus, throwing himself down at Jesus' feet, begging him to come and heal his dying daughter. "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And Jesus went with him, and a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. While Jesus on his way to heal this little girl, he was interrupted again, this time by a woman that was considered to be unclean. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garments. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately, the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Interestingly, this time, Jesus interrupted himself. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power has gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" The disciples were stretching their head and probably rolling their eyeballs. "What are you talking about?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But a woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. And Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Now, this is all good from this woman's perspective, but the next interruption, while Jesus was still speaking, was some really bad news for Jairus. There came from the ruler's house, some said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." So Jesus took Peter, James, and John and came to the house of Jairus, where they saw people weeping and crying loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making such a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him, "Ha ha ha ha." But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Jesus took her hand and said to her, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age, and they were immediately overcome with amazement. As you can see, Jesus used all these interruptions as opportunities to do God's mighty work. Remember from 2 weeks ago, Pastor Wilbert told us that Jesus always aligned himself to the will of the Heavenly Father, and we learned today that he used these seemingly unpleasant disruptions in his life to carry out the work of the Father. As Jesus' followers, we can imitate Christ by following his example of turning interruptions into invitations. Just like Jesus, we can turn interruptions into invitations to carry out the good work of the Father. To bring hope and salvation to this broken, fallen world, Jesus noticed many people that crossed his path during his life, blind men, lame men, fishermen, taxmen, weeping women, prostitutes, pleading fathers, grieving mothers, the deaf, the mute, the outcast, dying children, even babies. They all captured Jesus' attention, and he never hesitated to stop and spend time with them, talk to them, care about them, even though they were all disrupting his daily routine. And Jesus further drove this point home with a parable in the Gospel of Luke, when he was interrupted yet again, this time by a lawyer, while Jesus was probably doing some teaching to a group of people. Gospel of Luke. And behold, a lawyer stood up to him, who is Jesus, to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And of course, in a very typical Jesus fashion, you know, he liked to answer a question with a question. Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" The lawyer gave Jesus the model answer. He's been reciting this verse many, many times that we're all very familiar with as well. And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "Well, you have answered correctly. You know this all your life. Go and do it, and you will live." But the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" So then Jesus told this lawyer a story about a man that's been robbed and beaten and left on the side of the road, half dead. And while this man was lying there, a priest passed by. And this priest walking by was probably thinking, "What do I do? I have all these divine responsibilities as a priest. If I touch him, I would need to go through all the cleansing procedures and all the stuff to clean myself up, and this will affect my job. I don't think I have time to do that. I got to keep going. My schedule is jam-packed, and I don't have another moment to spare." "Well, maybe I'll have time to call 911. Send him an ambulance, that should be good enough for the father." So he checked his cell phone, no signal. Oh well, so he looked down at his cell phone, opened a Bible app, pretend that he's reading the Bible to cover his guilt, and he walked on by. Then Jesus continued the story in verse 32. "So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side as well." Two Jewish religious leaders, two Christians, if you will, had already walked by, and they decided that there's nothing they can do for this man. Their schedule is too full. There's simply no room in their schedule to allow for any interruptions. They got to follow the set agenda. They got to live by Google Calendar. The fate of this man is almost doomed, except a Samaritan came along. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and then when he saw this man, he had compassion. The Samaritan was obviously on his way to somewhere. Maybe he was on his way to a meeting. Maybe he's on his way to see his client. He's got a schedule. He was busy as well. But Jesus told us that the key difference is that this Samaritan had compassion. Much like Jesus, the Samaritan had compassion for this man to look past his own schedule, his own busyness, to stop what he was doing, change his plans, and help the man. The Samaritan's compassion turned an interruption into an invitation to do God's redemptive work. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The Samaritan didn't just drop the man at the hotel and took off. He actually took on more interruptions. And the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him. Now, 2 denarii is like 2 days' worth of pay. So the Samaritan is not only generous with his time, he's also generous with his money. But the Samaritan goes further than that. Verse 35, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. The Samaritan is willing to take the extra step, run the extra mile. At the end of the parable, Jesus invited the lawyer to do the same. And Jesus said to the lawyer, you go and do the same. And Jesus' invitation is extended to us today. You go and do the same. Allow your life to be interrupted. Turn the interruptions into invitations. Allow some time in your schedule for interruptions. God does not meant for us to be slaves to our Google Calendar. Jesus is here to release us from the bondage of our schedule, and we are free to create room in our schedule for interruptions. So instead of being hostile to interruptions, be hospitable. Be hospitable to interruptions. Accept the detours in your life, surprises in your life, and when they happen, allow them. Embrace them. Because these are the times when God's mighty work happens as you see in Jesus' life. God willingly, for some reason, used people like you and me to do great things. And I know that it is in our nature and culture to avoid interruptions at all costs, but this is in stark contrast to what we see in Jesus' life. As Christians, we are supposed to set our clock in sync with the rhythm of Jesus' life. And part of that rhythm is to infuse these divine interruptions into our life. Now, we are not accepting these interruptions because we are being forced to. God never forced us to do anything. We are not doing it because we are required to. But we are willing to take on the interruption in our life because as Christians, we take on the posture of Christ. A posture that welcomes the Father's will be done in our lives through interruptions. And we somehow, for some reason, feel that we have to deal with all these interruptions alone. And often, fear and anxiety may take a toll on us. But when we accept God's invitation and dive right into it, do you not think that Jesus will go in with us? In fact, take each interruption as a mean to experience the transforming power of Jesus on yourself or someone else. When you embrace these moments of interruptions, I don't know if the other person will change or not, but I will guarantee that you will change. You will be transformed because you will be more aware of the Father's presence. You will be closer to your Father and your life will be transformed. For me, I was interrupted about a month ago when I was having breakfast at the food court at Parker Place. My plan at the time was to finish my breakfast, got myself loaded with energy and caffeine, and continue to work on my sermon for the next 1 hour while I was waiting to pick up my daughter from KO, our church office. As I was enjoying my breakfast, a middle-aged lady, probably in her 60s, who sat next to me, started asking me about the breakfast I was having. She said, "Where did you get that fish and eggs breakfast combo? It looks really good." So I politely told her where I got it and how much it was, and I was going to quickly finish my breakfast, took off, and continue to work on my very important writing. But then, for some reason, Jesus prompted me to ask about her breakfast. I know, it's kind of weird, but I did it anyways. She told me that she was having vegetarian dumplings that were specially made by one of the shops there. And she has been very careful about what she eats because she just finished treatment for her breast cancer. And that prompted our conversation in the next 1 hour. I attentively listened to her story. And all the while, I feel very strongly the presence of the Lord between us. It felt as if Jesus was just sitting across from us, listening in and prompting me what to say. And out of the blue, this lady commented that I am a very good listener. And I told her that perhaps it is my job as a dentist, or because I've been going to church and I've been listening to a lot of brothers, sisters' problems and grumbling as a small group leader. And one thing that she said that kind of struck me is that, but you know what? Not all Christians are like that. I have some Christian friends that I would rather not have anything to do with them. And I told her that I'm very, very sorry to hear that. But I invited her to come to our church, and hopefully we are a better community than that, right? At the end, nothing spectacular happened. There was no miracle, no woman your faith have saved you kind of thing. I only encouraged her to start reading her Bible, as she have a Catholic background. She went to a high school in Hong Kong, and so she knows about Jesus. And ask her out loud in front of her for God to continue to bless her and to give her good health, and that hopefully one day she would get to know more about being a Christian and be part of our ways. I never bump into her again, but I hope and pray that God will transform her life. As for me, that 1 hour with Jesus sitting across from me in the food court in Parker Place, that was empowering. Knowing that I don't have to go it alone during the interruption, and that I am working the will of the Father with Jesus right there with me, that was precious. True, I lost 1 hour of sermon preparation time in my very busy life and tight schedule, but in the end, He is doing all the talking anyway. I'm just an instrument, a mouthpiece. Henry Nouwen, one of the most important spiritual thinkers of our time, has once said this near the end of his life. Interruptions. My whole life, I have been complaining that my work was constantly interrupted until I discover the interruptions were my work. This is all planned. In other words, when you miss out on these interruptions, you are missing out the full life that God has promised us. That life has promised us. We will be missing life itself. Let me back up. This is really important. What Henry Nouwen was saying is that when you miss out these interruptions, you are missing out the full life that God has promised us. We will be missing life itself. So would you continue to be hostile to interruption, or would you start creating a time in your schedule and prepare for these interruptions? For some of you, it may be spending time talking to a friend or coworker in need, even when you are behind with your own work, or helping your very annoying sister with her homework when you're not done studying with your exam, or helping a friend to buy grocery or cook because she has fallen ill even when you are already dead tired after a whole day of work. For some of you, it may be to spare some time and start serving in one of the ministry teams during Sunday worship. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Wilbur reminded us that servo ministry teams are at a critical shortage of servants. We never had unfilled slots on the Sunday servant roster before. Would you take the interruption in your schedule and take up serving in one of the teams? There are three teams in particular in the English ministry that are in dire needs: hospitality, video production, and tag team. 2 weeks ago, when no one was able to serve as ushers in hospitality, Priscilla and Albina stepped up, disrupted their schedule, and served. Earlier this week, I was told that we didn't even have a servant for the presentation team this morning. But Phoebe decided to step up. As her father, she asked me if she should do it. I didn't tell her to do it. I just told her to pray and ask God and be attentive to His voice. And I guess God told her to do it, and I thank her for it, because otherwise I would not be able to stand here and deliver the message to you this morning. And they are just teenagers. They are just starting out. They have probably not even followed Christ for that long. But for those of us who are supposed to have more wisdom, more life experience, and who have been followers of Jesus for many, many more years, are we going to continue to keep the status quo, or are we going to allow the interruptions in your life to transform you? And I know this is not easy. As I was preparing this morning message, my life is constantly being interrupted, my sleep was interrupted, and I constantly have to make adjustments, and my patience is constantly being tested. But you know what? I was also constantly being brought back closer to God, to ask Him for guidance and ask Him for help to see this world through His eyes. So for the next 2 weeks, would you give it a try? I'm not saying we have to solve every single problem that we see, and it's impractical to be interrupted all the time. But the next time an interruption comes along, instead of dodging it, instead of getting rid of it, would you consider coming in front of the Father and ask Him for guidance on how you can fulfill His will through this disruption? And don't ever underestimate the power of interruption in your life. Many, many years ago, another teenage girl accepted an invitation of a divine interruption, and the fate of the human race was forever changed. A young man accepted the interruption of his fiancée being pregnant, even though he was not the father of the child. But the whole balance of good and evil was forever changed. The redemption of humanity began when Mary and Joseph accepted the invitation of interruption in their life. Can't you see? Even Jesus' birth began with the interruption. And He ended His life on earth when He accepted the ultimate interruption in His life and died on the cross for all of us. His arms and legs were disrupted by the three nails you can see on the cross. The air to His lungs was disrupted. The blood flow to His brain was cut off, but the nerves that carry all the pain was never disrupted until He breathed out His last breath on the cross. But Jesus never looks at us as disruption in His life. In fact, He embraces us sinners with love and compassion because it is in His nature. And because of His sacrifice and resurrection, the power of death was forever disrupted. Perhaps this morning is the first time you hear about this Jesus who died on the cross for our sins. Or you have heard it many, many times in the past. But somehow this morning, the Father is inviting you to accept this interruption in your life by accepting Jesus, his only Son, as your personal Savior and Lord. And when you say yes to that invitation, Jesus will be a major interruption in your life. And I guarantee you, your life will be changed forever for the better. Let us all pray. Let's bow our head. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning message, and we thank you for interrupting our lives with the death and resurrection of Jesus. Because of your passion, we are no longer bound by the things that used to hold us bondage, and that include our schedule and business. We ask in your great name that you create breaks in our life so that we can be more attentive to you, so that when you call us, we will recognize your voice right away, and that we will do your mighty redemptive works according to your will in the midst of our interruptions. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.